Steve, the big news today, of course, is that Kieran Agard's joined Bristol City. Can we just get your take on that?
Well, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised that we gave him permission to talk to Bristol City, because the Bristol City Football Club agreed to match the valuation set by Tony Stewart, and that was happening yesterday. And I obviously was aware that Kieran had been given permission, but wow, you turned in Leeds United and you drop a league and go to Bristol City. That's no disrespect to Bristol City, but surprised.
Steve Cottrell says that he's not just dropped down into League One again to join Bristol City, but that he's actually taken less money than the Championship clubs were offering. He says it's for footballing reasons that he's got there. What's your view on that?
Steve would say that, well, he's a Bristol City manager. You know, Bristol City is a wonderful football club. We're fantastic owner and great supporters, big club for League One. You know, I just find it surprising that you would turn down a household worldwide name like Leeds United and go to Bristol City. I just find it surprising. You've had some reaction. You know, Kieran Agard is a fantastic young man. I said he comes in with a smile every day. It's never affected him, all the speculation. We loved working with him. We may work with him again in the future. Who knows what football brings? And he's got, you know, really, really good family around him. His mum and his grandma, who's very, very close to him, and I know what he thinks of them. But my reaction is one of surprise that you would turn down a football club with the profile and the fan base and the historical values and everything that goes with football. If you can go to the wildest place in, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but you can go to the wildest place in Africa and someone says Leeds, people know Leeds United, don't they? Hmm. Well, that's just surprising.
Is there any disappointment on your behalf, given that you gave him an opportunity as a free agent a couple of years ago? He was part of this journey with you, scored an awful lot of goals last year, and he did have a year left on his contract, that he has not stayed at this football club and helped it sort of adapt to the Championship?
If it's purely a football thing, then you would say, of course I'm disappointed to lose any good player. And Kieran Agard is a very talented boy. We gave him an opportunity. He went down to Yeovil when I tried to sign him previously, and he found himself on the bench and no part of what they were doing at Yeovil. We brought him in to have a look at him for a week, and we brought him here. And I think we took a year to get him to play on the right-hand side rather than a striker. And that's where we seen his future. And it was rewarded in League One. We had something like 27, 28 goals in the most marvellous of seasons. But to be fair to Rotherham United, Kieran's representatives made it clear from the day after Wembley that under no circumstances would they entertain him staying here. So if that's been the case, and I believe that Paul Douglas' attempts to get Kieran to extend his contract have been 3 and 4 months long, then it's obviously you have to release the value in that player, and that's what we've done.
Why has his representatives, in your view, taken that stance? That seems quite a dramatic stance to take.
I don't know. I think they've been in for a few discussions. I think, people have wage structures, don't they? He's signed for Bristol City, so that would maybe tell you something, that their wage structure is different to Rotherham United's. But it's not the first in recent times you've seen that. But what's important for our football club is that we stick to our structure. The message is loud and clear to our players. It has been to new players, and it has been to the players that we've kept from previous times, is that this football club is a structure and it will not be broken. This football club under Tony Stewart cannot go back to the dark days of paying what you can't afford and mortgaging tomorrow's money. It's just not an option. And I've been the one who made the decision on to withdraw from Stevie May. I was the one who made the decision, the final decision, if we're not going to get Kieran to extend his deal. The value inside this football club must be to sell him, but we have to get the right price, and that's been matched, I'm told, by Paul Douglas. You know, when you're getting a transfer fee that's very near to £1 million and a guarantee, they're saying, never, never, this is guaranteed, and additional pluses added to that, then it's good value. It's great value for Rotherham United. But the biggest factor for me is, I say to every player, Rob, if you don't want to be at Rotherham United, do us a favour, get on the train and leave town. We don't want you if you don't want to be here. We want people to come in and live and breathe this project. We want people, and Kieran did, every day he came in with a smile. We want people coming in with a smile. We want players who want to represent our football club. We want players who want to play for the shirt. And we know the higher you go in football, that becomes less and less, and every player in every club kisses the badge and all that nonsense. But we do want players that want to play for our supporters and play for our chairman and play for our community and all the stuff and believe in it. And we have that in our dressing room. Kieran obviously wanted to be somewhere else. We wish him every success. He's a smashing kid, and he's joined a good manager, and he's joined a good football club. But to take a step down to League One, you must think he's doing that for 12 months. And listen, you're talking to a manager who took a step down when he came at Rotherham United, and the belief of the bigger picture was bigger. We'll see if that bigger picture is bigger.
Just the final one on this. Is it good that it's happened now and it's not dragged on, that we're not asking you about Kieran Agard's future every week, that it's not happened perhaps on the final day of the transfer window and not giving you the time you need maybe to reinvest some of that money? Is it a good thing that it's happened as soon as possible?
Well, as a manager, there's never a good time to lose a good player. It wouldn't have happened on deadline day. You know, it just wouldn't have happened. I think people forget when we've always said all along is that this football club was a football club or a business that does not need to sell. You know, we need to find some players. We're in the market now looking, and we've got some offers out there, whether Kieran left or not. So, but I'll maintain, if you don't want to be here, then please move aside. You know, the minute Steve Evans don't want to be here, and if Tony Stewart was aware of that, I wouldn't be here, would I? So we all have to live in a world that you have to represent this football club where a real desire and a real hunger, because we're in a big, big league, as we're finding out.
I'm hot on the heels of this news. A national newspaper today and a broadcaster as well is reporting that Hull City have shown interest in Ben Pringle. Have you had any contact from Hull?
Are they recruiting for the fishing market up there? Ben, it's just an absolutely wildly wrong, stupid, ridiculous story created, must be, by agents. It's ridiculous. And the one thing I know about Hull City Football Club, if they had an interest, I know their manager. I know what Big Brucey stands for. And listen, Brucey's bigger than me. So he'd be phoning me up, telling me, we have an interest in your player. And that's the standards that man holds. So I would think Steve Bruce has had a chuckle over his conflicts this morning.
So the next move now is that you're going to have, obviously, look to recruit, as you've mentioned there. Are you going to have to replace Kieran Agard's goals? Do you think that you've got those goals in your team already?
Well, we think we've got goals in our team, don't we? You know, we're going to go and find somebody to get 20 goals in the Championship. I think the last person that done that was McCormack, who's gone to Fulham for 11.2 million. So we're not in that marketplace, are we? But we're looking at people now, and we're trying to get people in. But we have a structure. We're not going to break it, Rob. You know, we've agreed fees in the last week with a club. We couldn't agree personal terms. That doesn't need to commit who it was and what the player was or who the player was, etc. But we have a structure in, and we're going to keep to it. And players will fit that structure, or they'll leave.
Is anything imminent then? Do you think you'll get anything done before the weekend?
I don't know if it's going to happen before the weekend. We're certainly in talks with one club now about a loan player. In terms of permanent additions, I would think that's probably gone a bit too far now towards Saturday and the difficult trip to Millwall.
The good news this week, Richie Smallwood signing on loan. Is that now a permanent deal? Have you managed to complete that?
Yeah, Richie's done.
And that is a big move, isn't it? Because he did ever so well for you last year. And to get him back on a permanent deal, it's a great move for him and the club, isn't it?
And you can see what his performance has meant to our supporters. He got a great evasion from the Miller support before kick-off against Watford, and I think all the way through the game he demonstrated why we brought him here. I thought he was outstanding for 90 minutes, and against one of the best teams in the league. So he's a young man, he fits our profile, he's 23 years old, he's got reasonable experience playing in the Championship with a good club like Middlesbrough. So we're delighted with that.
And when you're talking about players who want to be here, had he certainly expressed that pretty much from the end of last season?
If I had £10 for every time that kid's texted me since the playoff final said he'd love to be here, I wouldn't be sitting here now. I'd probably be having a couple of days off, wouldn't I? Have a break somewhere. But he was very, very keen to join us. He was obviously keen to establish himself in the team at Middlesbrough. Mm. But when he realised that was unlikely with the manager having different options, a plethora of different options, and you know, then it became obvious to us that he would love to be here. And he's kept in touch with all the boys, not just me. There's a lot of players that he speaks to on a daily basis, as you would if you played the part that Richie played last season.
What's the news on Paul Green then? It looked like a nasty one the other night.
Yeah, we're going to miss him for about 3 weeks, I think. 2 to 3 weeks. So he'll miss the weekend. He'll, you know, probably, dare I say it, but it's great to be involved in a league where there's international breaks. We have a 2-week break and he'll be fit after it. It's never good news that you're losing him for any game, because I think he has simply been our best player by some distance. But he'll be missing for a few weeks.
He has had such a terrific impact, hasn't he? And he's, you know, he symbolises what you want, a player who will leave everything out on the field.
Well, there's a number of experienced managers. When I signed, when we'd announced we'd signed Richie Smallwood, who said Smallwood and Green, fantastic, what a pair. And they demonstrated that against Watford, certainly for 65, 70 minutes the other evening until Green had to come off. And But, you know, thankfully, it's not as bad as we first feared. We first feared perhaps there could be a complete break in there, but it's not. So we're looking at a few weeks rather than a few months.
It's a funny division, isn't it? I think, you know, we learnt that on the other night, and another night of drama in the Championship, especially here as well. You had an opportunity to win that game, but such are the sides in this level, they'll punish you if you don't take your chances, won't they?
Yeah, I think we're a little bit down on where we should be. I think we certainly deserve the point at Derby. We could say I've probably been adding to it and saying we deserve to win, but we certainly should have had a point at Derby. I don't think we deserved anything from Wolves. I said that at the time, but we take the points, and I think we deserve to beat Watford. So we're probably a point behind where our performances dictate where we should be. But you know, the best managers in this league, and I've named some of them earlier, have all told me, don't look at it till 8 or 10 games in, and then you can have a look, and it'll tell you where we are. And what I do know is if we can play as we play for 65, 70 minutes against Watford, we'll do very well.
I saw Millwall a couple of times last year, and I saw them on Tuesday night against Sheffield Wednesday. They are a tougher proposition than last year. They've certainly improved this year.
Well, it's no surprise, is it, when they've got Ian Holloway as manager? I don't really know Ollie, apart from having the odd call to him when he was at Palace or Blackpool, asking about players on loan and different things. And when they tried to sign one of my players when he was at Blackpool, you know, he's a unique character, isn't he? He's a person, I think, that graced the Premiership, and I think the Premiership took to him. And I think he's a Premiership manager in the Championship. And the one thing that you'll get from that is you'll get the experience and the know-how to put a winning team together in. And he's done that, hasn't he? I know they've had two wins and a draw, and I think if it have all planned out the other night, despite a last-minute equaliser, they'd have won the game over at Hillsborough. So from that point of view, they've started in terrific fashion, and that's a tough time to go down to Millwall, where the supporters are loud and proud. I've sat there on many a Tuesday night watching them, and they get really passionate and vocal and get in opposition faces. But they're, you know, if you've got Millwall in your blood or your Millwall manager, you want that passion and you want that feverish support with you.
They make themselves heard as well, Steve, and one or two managers get a bit of grief down there. Are you ready for that?
I'm sure I'll get more than some. I probably know as much as others. They don't know me down there, but you know, if they knew I've sat there with you know, good friends of mine who support Millwall and cheered the team to wins in the past only because I'm with friends that support them. But yeah, listen, it's 3-5, and we'll try and compete and win a football match against very, very talented players. I must admit, the players that Ollie have signed have really impressed me. And, you know, you only have to look at his bench to realise what his starting 11's like. And, you know, against Fulham, we've watched clips of that, and we've watched other clips of their opening day success over Leeds, and very, very impressive.